May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. We have skipped ahead today, my friends, far from Bethlehem's fields, far from stories of wise men from the east, far from the familiar manger scene. Just like that, in a matter of just one Sunday, we leave the child Jesus behind, and we meet him again 30 years later at the edge of the River Jordan, hanging out with his cousin John and about to take part in a strange new ritual. It says here in the text for our gospel today that the heavens broke open and that the Spirit of God descended on Jesus like a dove. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. End the scene. The text simply says that God is well pleased. And it's all a little anticlimactic, isn't it? Like the moment you hear God's voice bellowing down from heaven, you'd like God to give you a little bit more information. All we get is that Jesus is God's Son and that God is well pleased. No hints of Jesus' origin story, no hints about the future fame that awaits him, no clue as to what he'll do or who he will become. Simply well pleased. I don't know about you, but I expected a little more from Jesus' baptism. I know that it's not every day that the Spirit of the Lord descends like a dove, but I don't find it very satisfying in the context of the inauguration of Jesus' ministry. In the context of the Gospel of Matthew, however, this is an important turning point. This is the moment that Jesus steps into the public sphere, not with a miraculous healing, not with a rousing sermon, but with an initiation. So what are we to make of this moment? What are we to do with this Son of God, in whom God is well pleased? Now, I don't know about you, but the monumental events in my life have rarely come with much pomp and circumstance. Sure, there are graduations and various ceremonies and other such moments, but more often than not, the big decisive moments in life rarely happen on some grand stage for all the world to see. Sometimes the big monumental events happen through no fault of our own. Say, like that moment your parents moved away from your childhood home, the only home you knew. Or that moment when you got laid off at the peak of your career and had to find a new way forward. Sometimes these moments arrive in quiet places, in the depths of our own hearts, not with a proposal or the big kiss at the end of the ceremony, but with a gentle nudge and a kind word one morning. Years after the honeymoon, when you have to get up, make coffee, and get to work. When we look back at the monumental events of our lives, we are tempted to look at the big celebrations or the tragedies, the rituals that mark the transition from one space to the next. And yet, the real decisions happen in everyday circumstances, in the daily work of loving, in the monotony of everyday trust-building, peacemaking, and persistence. To be initiated into the Christian way of life, my friends, to follow Jesus' footsteps into the waters of baptism, this isn't a one-and-done deal. To be initiated into Jesus' way of life means stepping forth from the baptismal font, assured of God's loving embrace of every single part of us, and doing the hard work of treating others likewise. God expects our words and actions to line up with that reality. Not just in the grand moments when it makes sense to celebrate, not just in the moments of crisis when your leadership and presence are desperately needed, but in all the moments in between, in the hard, mundane, and thankless work, in all the moments between Christmas joy and Easter proclamation, in season and out of season, when Republicans are in power as well as when Democrats are, in red states and blue states and purple states and everywhere in between. And lest you forget, my friends, God is well pleased with you. God is well pleased with you, not because you did anything to earn it, thank God, but simply because that is how God sees you. God is well pleased with you by virtue of God's choosing, not your merit. God is well pleased with the person you truly are, not who you have been. God is well pleased with all of you, and he wants you to live into that reality, to step into it with boldness and wild abandon. Are you ready to accept that kind of love? Are you ready to step into God's mission for you and for the world around you? Lord knows we need you. We can't do it without you. You know, I walked down to the banks of the River Jordan once, a couple years ago, and I had this image in my head of Jesus' baptism, of a mighty flowing river breaking the desert landscape in half, of pilgrims from every tongue, tribe, people, and nation flocking to this holy site. And when I got there, I did see pilgrims everywhere, but I wasn't exactly filled with awe as I looked across the sea of tour buses and khaki-clad tourists with all their cameras. I wasn't all that impressed by the River Jordan either. It's a small little stream there on the west bank, overlooking the country now known as Jordan in that section of the desert we were in. It's not really even as wide as an Olympic-sized swimming pool in some parts. But the point you see is not the place or the water there, nor the priest who officiates a baptism, nor the pomp, circumstance, and performance of an event like a baptism. The point is the grace of a God who loves with abandon, who invites everyone to take a dip in those holy waters. So let us gather around the baptismal font today, my friends, and remember, grace isn't for those who have earned it. Grace is for the broken and the bitter, the socially awkward and bent out of shape, the liars, cheaters, criminals, and those deemed wholly undeserving. Thank God for that, my friends. Thank God that that is our God. Let us go, therefore, and treat others likewise. Amen.